Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Friday, August 28th, and this is your FT News Briefing. A new bidder for TikTok raises some eyebrows, and the Federal Reserve is changing its inflation policy. What does that mean for bondholders? Plus, it's one of the most impactful political protests in sports history. We take a closer look at how an NBA strike in protest against police brutality is rippling through the industry. I'm Mark Filipino, and here's the news you need to start your day. There's a new twist in the race to sell TikTok to an American company. Walmart said yesterday it's throwing its hat into the ring. It'll partner with Microsoft on the possible acquisition. Oracle has been the other big name bidder up until this point. But the clock is ticking. The Trump administration says it'll shut down the popular video app unless its U.S. operations are sold to an American company by mid-November. The White House has accused the ByteDance-owned company of threatening U.S. security. Now, the app is probably best known for featuring dancing teenagers, so if you're wondering why a big box store is interested in acquiring it, you're not the only one. But the move is a sign that the company wants to expand online as it takes on Amazon. The Walmart bombshell came just hours after the FT revealed that TikTok chief executive Kevin Mayer was quitting. Walmart shares jumped as much as 5% yesterday on the announcement. It turns out that central bankers can make headlines even if they're stuck at home on Zoom like the rest of us. Jerome Powell spoke yesterday at the virtual Jackson Hole Symposium. The U.S. Fed chair said the central bank was adopting a new strategy. It'll be more tolerant of temporary increases in inflation, ensuring low interest rates for years to come. And it's a big deal because the Fed, for years, has focused on keeping inflation below 2%. So what does that mean for markets and the U.S. economy? The FT's Colby Smith explains that bondholders are taking special notice.
Inflation has a very serious effect on the real returns that bondholders earn on fixed interest payments for government debt. And so higher inflation oftentimes means that government debt is not necessarily a good investment. And we saw a little bit of that price action yesterday, where we saw a big backup in Treasury yields following the Fed's announcement here, as investors were thinking about what it means to have the Fed embracing inflation to a certain degree. Now, for the economy, it kind of remains an open question whether or not the Fed is going to succeed on this front. Meeting the 2% target has been a longstanding goal of the Fed, but over the past few decades, it's been something that they have failed to make good on. And so there's a lot of open questions from investors about just how successful the Fed is going to be. It's one thing to say they're okay with inflation running above the 2% target, but it's an entirely different situation in figuring out how actually to do that.
It was only a few years ago that when athletes got political, they'd be told to stick to sports. But that has changed somewhat this year after Minneapolis police killed George Floyd. Black Lives Matter t-shirts and kneeling during the national anthem became more popular at sports games. Now, the police shooting of Jacob Blake has led to a whole new level of activism from athletes. The Milwaukee Bucks sat out their National Basketball Association playoff game on Wednesday, which kicked off an astounding chain reaction, with postponements and protests spanning Major League Baseball to tennis star Naomi Osaka. The FT's U.S. sports business correspondent, Sarah Germano, is with me now to talk about this momentous move. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Mark.
Sarah, put this into context. You know, we've seen protests before, but why is this time different?
There are many iconic instances of protest against racial injustice by athletes. You know, there's Tommy Smith and John Carlos raising their fists at the 1968 Olympics. More recently, Colin Kaepernick made a stand by taking a knee during the U.S. national anthem before NFL games. Both of those were really revolutionary demonstrations. But what's different and really extraordinary about the protest this week is that the athletes, NBA teams, MLB teams, used a labor stoppage to make their point. Effectively, in taking the decision not to take the court, the players are saying having slogans like Black Lives Matter and huge paint across half court isn't enough. the players literally withheld their service, their skill, to say that the police shooting of a black man isn't right. And it's not, they're not merely some middle market team. They're the team of the reigning NBA MVP. They're the team with the best regular season record in the league, and they're considered a favorite to win the championship, possibly their first since 1971. And they stopped playing in the middle of the playoffs. It would be the equivalent of like Usain Bolt stopping at the 70 meter mark of the Olympic 100 meter final, just to make this point.
Now that protests have become a bit more commonplace and a little bit more accepted by fans, it seems like this has given athletes more leverage. The Milwaukee Bucks called on the Wisconsin legislature to reconvene and address police brutality. What role can athletes play in making specific changes?
There are tangible results already. The attention and the sort of historical shock of NBA teams sitting out playoff games drew remarks from Jared Kushner and other White House officials on Thursday, and in so doing, brought the conversation around the shooting of Jacob Blake into the highest office of the United States.
What about from a business and advertising angle? How do brands and companies go about walking what is probably a pretty delicate line here?
It's really tough. You've got Disney hosting this really fantastical bubble, as they call it, quarantining 13 NBA teams in one spot on their, you know, kind of corporate campus in Florida just to finish out the season. And then you've got TNT and ESPN, which are the two cable carriers, paid $24 billion to renew their deals just to broadcast basketball through 2024-2025. So there's a lot of money at stake, but you've basically got a situation in which the league, its broadcast partners, and its corporate sponsors have yet to really take a strong stance or even a strong forecast on what could come next. By and large, the relationship between the players, the owners, the league, and all of the ancillary partners that make this, you know, $8 billion a year business run have been very good. And to throw a racial injustice protest in the middle of it, from what we're hearing so far, all parties involved are trying to find a solution that addresses the social issues that the players are advocating for, while also trying not to diminish or relent on any of the goodwill that their existing relationships have.
Sarah Germano is the FT's U.S. sports business correspondent. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Mark.
Before we go, Sarah told me there were a bunch of people who wrote into the FT to talk about the story. One person said they were just casual NBA fans, but the basketball player boycott inspired a conversation within their own family about social and racial injustice. You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back next week for the latest business news. The FT News Briefing is produced by Fiona Simon and me, Mark Filippino. Our editor is Dan Bobkoff. We had help from Gavin Coleman, Michael Bruning, and Amy Keen. Our theme song is by Manafort Music.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.